Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 11, Aspects of Transcendental Service, Servitorship. In the opinion of the karmis or fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava Acharyas, like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. In the Skanda Purana it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities or the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas or pure devotees. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. But when one has no such desire and acts spontaneously out of love of God, then such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. The conditioned souls who have come into contact with this material world are all more or less desirous of lording it over material nature. The system of varna and ashram, as well as the prescribed duties under this system, are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to one's desire for sense gratification and at the same time gradually become elevated to spiritual understanding. Under these prescribed duties of varna and ashram, there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performances as well as the prescribed duties of devotional service because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. When householder devotees perform some Vedic ritualistic duties, they do so to satisfy Krishna. As we have previously discussed, any activity aimed at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. He says that persons who are neophytes and who have developed a little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification in proportion to their devotion. But if there is still some attraction for sense gratifying activities, then the result of such activities should be offered to Krishna. This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as master and the worker as servant. In the Naradiya Purana, there is a statement of how this servitorship is transcendental. There it is said that a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by one's body, mind, and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged but is simply desiring to do so, is to be considered liberated. Devotional service in friendship. Devotional service in friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he or she will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Ya idang paramang guhyang mad bhakteshu abhi dhasyati. Bhakting mayi parang krikva mam evaisyat yasangshaya nachat tasman manusheshu kashchin me priya krittama bhavita na chame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Thus, the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. So anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to such a person in human society. In the Mahabharata, Draupadi says, O my dear Govinda, your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished, and I believe in that statement. Therefore, in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise, and thus I live. The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulations by their cousin brother Duryodhana, as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishmadev, who was both a lifelong brahmachari and a great warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of those tribulations. Bhishma was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous, and Draupadi was practically the goddess of fortune, and although Krishna was their friend, still they had to undergo such severe tribulations. Though their tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. A similar statement is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, verse 53, where Havi, the son of King Rishabha, addresses Maharaj Nimi, Tri Bhuvana Vibhava Hetaveti Yakunta, Smritir Ajitatma Suradibir Vimrigyat, Nachalati Bhagavat Padara Vindal, Lava Nimishardam Apiyasa Vaishnavagriya. O my dear king, a person who never deviates even for a moment from engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, and who do so with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than devotional service, such a person is called a first-class devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami says that a neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he or she becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of one's devotional service. Sometimes it is found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raganuga or spontaneous, although, according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, this spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service in friendship. Surrendering everything to the Lord. Regarding complete self-surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34, wherein Krishna says, Martyo yada chyakta samasta karma, nivedita-tma vichikirshito me, tadat mritatvang patipadyamano, mayatma bhuyaya chakalpate vai. A person who has completely surrendered unto me, and who has completely given up all other activities, is thus protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help one to become more and more advanced in spiritual life. And such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sarshti, equal opulences with me. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Yashyami Ma Shucha. For as soon as a person surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge and gives one a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. Krishna also instructs from within so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to be the spirit self or soul. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or even to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he says, Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor, arpilu tuwa pade nanda kishore, sampade vipade jivane marane, dai mama gela tuwa upada varane, marovi rakhovi jo ichatohar, nitya das prati tuwa adhikar. My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. Sri Yamuna Acharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. Oh, my dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being, or as a demigod, or whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature. And I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you. In the Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his or her body in self-surrender. There, the devotee says, Oh, my dear Lord, just as a souled animal has no need to think about its maintenance and sustenance, so, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance. In other words, one should not bother about his or her personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, then he or she should always remember that one's only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrender are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give him or herself completely to the will of the Lord, offering a favorite article. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 41, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Yad yadishtatamang loke, yachchati priyam atmanaha, tattan nivedayin mayam, tad anantyaya kalpate. My dear friend, if someone offers me the best thing in his or her possession, or anything which is very pleasing to one, he or she will be benefited eternally, performing all endeavors for Krishna. In the Narada Pancharatra, there is a statement of how one can act in all spheres of life for the satisfaction of the Lord. There it is stated that a person who is actually in devotional service must be engaged in all kinds of activities, those prescribed in the revealed scriptures, and also those which are accepted for one's livelihood. In other words, not only should the devotee engage in the prescribed duties of devotional service, which are mentioned in the revealed scriptures, but one should also perform the duties of one's practical life in Krishna consciousness. For example, a devotee who has a great establishment or factory may offer the fruits of such a material possession for the service of the Lord, being a surrendered soul. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is the following statement about self-surrender. O my dear Lord, a person who has surrendered unto you, who is in firm conviction that he or she is yours, and who actually acts in that way by one's body, mind, and words, can actually relish transcendental bliss. In the Nrisinga Purana, Lord Nrisinga says, anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter from me becomes my ward, and I protect that person always from all sorts of calamities. Serving trees such as Tulsi. In the Skanda Purana, there is a statement praising the Tulsi tree. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Tulsi tree, which can immediately vanquish volumes of sinful activities. For simply by seeing or touching this tree, one can become relieved from all distress and disease. Simply by offering obeisances to and pouring water on the Tulsi tree, one can become freed from the fear of being sent to the court of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the king of death, who punishes the sinful. So, if someone sows a Tulsi tree somewhere, then certainly he or she becomes devoted to Lord Krishna. And when the Tulsi leaves are offered in devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is the full development of love of Godhead. In India, all Hindus, even those not belonging to the Vaishnava group, take special care of the Tulsi tree. Even in great cities, where it is very difficult to keep a Tulsi tree, people are still found to be very carefully keeping this plant. They water it and offer obeisances to Tulsi, because worship of the Tulsi tree is very important in devotional service. And in the Skanda Purana, there is another statement about Tulsi. Tulsi is auspicious in all respects. Simply by seeing, simply by touching, simply by remembering, simply by praying to, simply by bowing before, simply by hearing about, or simply by sowing this tree, there is always auspiciousness. So anyone who comes in touch with the Tulsi tree in the above-mentioned ways lives eternally in the Vaikuntha world. Thus ends Chapter 11 of Nectar of Devotion, Aspects of Transcendental Service. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.